I love real estate. It's something that I know that I'm quite good at in terms of managing people. We've almost got a fourth type of AI user in our business. It's the ones that are interested but don't want to do it themselves. Don't treat people like a number. They are working for your business because they want to succeed, and they also want to succeed for you as a business owner too. A lot of the things that can keep employees happy cost you no money at all. Welcome to Thought Leaders. I'm Samantha McLean. Today I'm joined by Sean Hayes, a real estate operations powerhouse who helped grow LJ Hooker Property Southwest WA from a single Bunbury office in 2013 to what is now a four-office network. Over her 23-year career, she's moved from receptionist to regional operations manager and moved around a bit as well. A couple of months ago, we shared the stage at REWA's Innovate 2025 conference, where Sean shared some of the AI implementation tips that have been successful for her group. So in this episode, we're going to unpack her journey that turned AI from maybe something that was just an interesting tool into some measurable growth. So Sean, great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
I want to get into the AI stuff, obviously, but let's get a bit of background on you first. Take me back to when you were like 17, starting as a trainee, and then you made a bold move to Darwin, I read somewhere, before coming back home. So walk me through that journey about how you got into real estate.
So I applied for a traineeship, actually. I think I'd seen it advertised, applied for a traineeship, and it was really great back then. You used to do a four-day working week, and you'd go off to the apprentice and traineeship company and do a day there where you'd actually learn how to be an administrator. So a lot of it's shortcutted these days with people doing so many things either online or by correspondence. And I actually don't feel like people get as much good training as what I did back then, because it was really hands-on and one-on-one with a trainer. So yeah, I really sort of learnt from the ground up. And then just slowly, you know, probably once every 6 months, I'd move up a little bit in my roles and positions throughout the company. I'd be offered different marketing roles and then personal assistant jobs. And then finally became the office manager for the initial company I was working for that I started as a trainee. And I stayed there for about 5.5 years. So, and that was a great company to work for. But yeah, the travel bug kind of hit me, and we decided to do a bit of a trip around Australia. And from there, ended up in Darwin and working for a great development sort of company, a property developer. So it was a little bit of a different kettle of fish, but I was still able to do real estate and sort of use my knowledge from Western Australia up there. And you did a bit of a mixture of property management and sales up in Darwin. So I was still able to keep my finger on the pulse. And then when we're finally ready to return back to WA, I could just slot straight back in there again. So yeah, and I've just really, I love real estate. It's something that I know that I'm quite good at in terms of managing people and just having a really solid understanding, seeing as I've been in it for such a long time now. I've just seen anything and everything that can either go wrong or go right with every particular deal and property and that sort of thing across that amount of time. So yeah, I feel like I've got a lot of knowledge behind me now. So I'm sort of the go-to for pretty much any question.
Yeah, that's amazing, actually. You must be like a cracking resource for your for your company.
And it's all up here. Down anywhere. It's just all up here. I have to remember everything.
yeah. Amazing. I was just going to ask you, what surprised you most? Like, we don't normally talk about Darwin much on this podcast. And, you know, so I'm just wondering, what was it like actually selling up there, and what surprised you the most about that market?
Oh, it was actually really interesting. Even before we moved to Darwin, I had in my mind that it was like a red dirt outback kind of place, just knowing the Northern Territory. And to drive into Darwin and actually see that Darwin City has a lot of high-rise apartments, that was a big thing for in the city there. And also it's really so tropical, like, you know, it's really green, it's really lush, and it's right on the water and the water's blue. And it was just a completely different thing to what I had in my mind. And we loved it up there because I love the heat. And yeah, worked with a really great bunch of people. It was a small team. We sort of built up our own real estate agency within this property development company. And yeah, just sort of branched out from there. But yeah, I think probably the biggest surprise was the amount of high rise and high density apartments that are built in the city there. It is hard. It's a hard market to sort of differentiate between those apartment high rises. And I think at the time, the developer I was working with was building a 120 apartment sort of single tower, and we were selling those off the plan. So very much a lot of off the plan sales happen up there, whereas we don't have a lot of that down here. You know, it might be very small developments in WA where you've got, you know, a developer maybe doing a 5-unit complex on a block or something like that. But very much the off the plan stuff, it was almost mimics like Melbourne. And, you know, to try and get a project off the ground, they used to have to sell, you know, maybe 40, 50%. So they could show the bank they can actually make this project happen. So, yeah, that was a really different thing for me to experience and know you had to have these contracts in place, deposits paid before they could sort of borrow from the bank or get the project off the ground. So there was a bit of pressure in that as well. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And it was nice doing it that way, that you could follow the clients all the way through to it being built, and then them being investors. So then you could then help them rent it out as well. We had this like complete service package sort of going on. So you're stuck with people for years. So I was up in Darwin for, I don't know, maybe 7.5 years, I think, in total in that time. And yeah, from that time, the getting to know of all of those people over such a long period of time, it was, yeah, it was really great.
Yeah, amazing. And so tell me a little bit about the business that you work in now.
So we are now a business of 73 staff members. We're across 4 offices in the southwest. We've got offices, our main office started in Bunbury, and then we've extended out to Collie, which is a bit more of a sort of inland rural type agency. And then we've got our sort of southwest offices, Busselton and Dunsborough, which are very coastal, right on the beach, right on the water, a lot of sort of beachy vibes, beachy properties. But yeah, prices really getting up there in those areas. So yeah, it's been nice to extend into those areas and sort of see the different versions, because each of our offices, even just taking on additional offices, everybody works just that little bit differently. It's really hard to get everyone on the same page and working the same way, especially when you take over different real estate companies and they're used to doing things a certain way. It's got to be a little bit softly as you introduce them to your ways of operating. And my advice is always just to start with one thing at a time when that happens, because it's very overwhelming to just dictate to somebody, this is the way we do things and all that kind of stuff. I think, you know, if we just go, let's start with one thing that is achievable for you, let's learn that really well, and then let's move on to the next thing. So, but yeah, so it's a really large company now. It's not so much of a small business anymore. So we are stretched pretty thin between the 4 offices. I'm sort of bouncing around between all 4 of them. But overall, my main job is to make sure that everybody can do their job well, everyone can do their job to capacity, and they've got all the tools they need to succeed, especially more so the sales side. I probably have a stronger focus on the sales and lead generation and appraisal tools, and just making sure everyone's got everything they need to really be the best rep they can possibly be. So, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. And so, you know, well, I guess, you know, you just hinted that people don't like change much. So I'm guessing that when a tool like ChatGPT comes along, there's either fear or amazement and excitement. I mean, for me, it was first fear and then amazement and excitement. But do you remember the moment that you discovered AI? What were your first impressions? What were you doing what was your first little experiment with it?
I've actually even been a little bit of a slow adopter, and it actually took me going to that Rewa Innovate to sort of realize just, you know, the ease of actually using ChatGPT. I think because I hadn't gotten in and used it a lot myself, I could hear what it was capable of from some other team members. They, you know, use it to rewrite script writing and for promoting properties and things like that. They ask it questions. And I'd seen a bit of stuff on my social media recently where people were saying, you know, ask ChatGPT to describe you as a person, or like give me your opinion on your personality and things like that. And I just sort of would read it and laugh, but almost wasn't willing to give it a go myself. And then it took going to that Rewa Innovate recently, and I was like, I'm just going to try it a bit more, you know. And I was recently studying too, and I used it to help me not in the way of answering the questions, because I'm a bit of a control freak in that way. Like I just could never bring myself to not cheat in a way, but, you know, like use that to find my answers. I found my answers first, but then what I was doing was using it to ensure that there was a few questions I wasn't 100% sure if I was actually on the right track. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to check if what I think this question means is, you know, what ChatGPT also thinks it means. And I used it for that. And it gave me some really good like insight to the actual question. And obviously other people, you know, ChatGPT is as good as what the information feeds into it from others as well. So yeah, the information it gave me, I was kind of like, oh, okay, I've missed the mark here, or I'm going to go back and just edit that slightly to ensure that I'm actually answering the question the right way. So that was my sort of first insight to it. And then, yeah, going to Rewa Innovate and seeing just things with like photo editing and imaging where, you know, we pay for things like that sometimes for our photographers to remove a hose out of a backyard lawn or, you know, from an image, or take away furniture and just some digital tools like that. I thought, okay, like we'll give that a go. And I came back and I told all the girls, did you know you could do this yourself, you know? And some of them knew, and others were like, oh, okay, we'll try that rather than be paying $40 an image to get it edited. Let's give it a go on here. So yeah, it's been a little bit of a slow process, but I'm getting there, and I'm very pleasantly surprised by the addition it can make to your role rather than
So you use some other AI tool, or you have been using some other AI tools in your business. What's one of them that's just become indispensable to you that you couldn't live without?
One of our biggest ones is regarding around text messaging automations and lead generation for our sales reps. So it's like that communication piece. You couldn't possibly in a day as a sales rep contact the amount of people that it's possible to do with the automated SMSing and emailing, even if you want to, and things like that. We use AI tool Rita through GetAir, and that is an SMS, sort of more so SMS platform. And that will just touch base with actual quality people. It will feed through your data more than what you could possibly do yourself to identify lead opportunities that you might have not seen coming, but they can see in the back end that, oh, these people are quite active online, or they're looking on realestate.com, or they've held their property now for 7 years. Like, let's look at these people and sort of see if they could possibly be making a move. And then the text messages that we've got going out as well, rather than just always asking for something, that's a big thing I, you know, so try and say to our agents, don't go in there going, you know, would you like a sales appraisal? I can come out. You know, it's very direct. You're offering them nothing really in return other than your presence and doing an appraisal. But whereas our text messages are more around like information and value add. So we tell them, hey, you know, John and Sandra, did you know that this property around the corner from you just sold for $1 million? You know, would love to gain your insights, or if you'd like to chat a little bit further about what's happening in your street or what's happening in your area, please give me a call at any time. It's not offensive. It's like providing them information that you know they're probably going to be interested in anyway. And then you're sort of leaving it in their court. Some of our text messaging is around like, you know, if you are interested in receiving an update, we'd love to provide you with a up-to-date market report, or, you know, we could potentially come out and do an appraisal. But it's a very soft intro and warm, rather than always just take and asking for something from those clients. So yeah, I think that's one of our biggest successes, and something that we couldn't physically do ourselves, is staying in as regular contact with our database and nurturing our database as much as what Rita allows us to do. So yeah.
Yeah, so that's a really good idea, actually. So sending something of value first before. Do people engage with the things of value, and how do you keep the conversation going?
Yes. So that's what we sort of realized when we had multiple campaigns going out. Some were around a spring campaign where people could go in the chance to win $25,000 if they got an appraisal during these spring months. We had that going out as an SMS campaign. We then had the more information piece around just solds, just listeds, did you know? And the AI picks up properties that are actually relevant because they can see what they own. And so they only select properties that are close in proximity to that house. So it is actually value information. There's no point telling them something that's 15 minutes out of town. It's not relevant to their property. And then we also had ones more directed at buyers. You know, can we help you? Have you managed to find anything yet? Would you like to update your details with us? But yeah, what we found with all of those different ones we've tried so far is the information piece one, where we're giving them some valuable information about what's happening in their area, the responses are so much more. Like, whereas the other ones, when you're just flat out offering them an appraisal, if they don't want an appraisal, they won't write back. Whereas when you're giving them information and saying, this just sold, are you interested? Or sometimes even with the just solds, if the sale price information isn't available yet, it'll say, we've just seen this is sold. We're not 100% sure how much it's sold for yet. Would you like me to keep you updated when this information comes to hand? And so they are so many responses. They just write back, yeah, how much? Or, you know, or, oh, interesting. That only just went online. Like, they'll just talk as if it was directed just to them. And yeah, the response rate on those SMSs we've just seen skyrocket compared to anything else where you're just putting something out there and expecting them to either take you up on an offer or not. They don't feel like they're taking you up on anything. There's no catch. They don't have to have an appraisal. It's just, did you know this? Yes or no? They're like, oh, great. Yeah, cool. Thanks for letting me know. Or, oh, let me know when the one down the street sells. So it's kind of like that initial engagement, you've kind of caught their interest. They still might not be ready for 3 or 6 months or even longer, but it's shown they're interested in what's happening in their area. So it might be an early sort of like a softer lead, but it's someone that you then go, right, we need to nurture these people. Let's add some notes. Let's put some more details in. Let's schedule some follow-ups. And then they're on your regular hit list from there, you know, because they have engaged. So, yeah, it's taken a bit of trial and error, but that we've found is probably the most successful thing that we do in terms of that SMSing is that just sold information in your area SMS campaign. Yep.
Yeah, I love that because I think you're describing there pull marketing versus push marketing, like instead of just, you know, sort of being that. I mean, because if someone said to me, do you want an appraisal, I would feel like I don't even have to respond to that because I'm going into witness protection and hopefully they'll never find me again. But, you know, like what you're saying is you're actually asking questions and offering things that elicit a response, and that's the way that you're getting the two-way conversation going.
Yeah.
So who responds? Is it the salesperson or is it centrally managed? Or
so at the moment, when the first initial message goes out, it's directly from AI. When a response is received, if it is a response that the AI can identify, they've got sort of like, if it's a yes positive, there's a series of conversations they can have around trying to drill down on what they actually want or how much help they need. And then if it's a no, then it's, you know, thank you so much. You know, please know that Anthony is available for you at any time if you've got any questions. And they just softly leave it like that, still pop the rep back in front of them, like we're here for anything you need, get in contact in the future, all the best, you know. But if it's a yes, there's a little bit more of a, if they say, oh, yeah, I am interested, and they'll say, great, you know, is there a best time for Anthony to give you a call? And they'll say, oh, yeah, Tuesday at 3:00. If they get to the end of a conversation and then maybe they ask a question the AI doesn't know how to answer, when the AI has got as far as they can go, they'll sort of finish off that or just stop the conversation from there and then quickly send a transcript to that agent saying, I've just been liaising, sort of like, here's the transcript of our conversation I've just had with your client. They've actually said, yes, I'd like an appraisal Tuesday at 3:00. Like, you need to give them a call. So our reps are really aware that if that sort of email comes through, it's generally urgent and they need to read it and see what that client has actually gone back and forth with the AI about. But yeah, so they don't generally get involved until the client has physically asked for something, and then they'll get involved with a call and then actually start communicating on their own mobile phone with that person. So yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. The salespeople must love that.
Sometimes it's handing them ready-made people, like, and they don't even know this person's thinking of being interested at this point. The AI's done it all, and then they've just sent through the transcript saying, oh, actually, they have said they would like a market report emailed through. So then the rep can get to work on doing a market report for them, send it through. Again, I tell them, harp on to them about everything, record everything you're doing in your CRM, or try and, with our CRM, we use Rex. They have a pocket app for Rex. So I'm trying to get them in the habit of make your calls through that app, email, text message through that app. Stop using your actual Apple phone or text message, services, and just do it all through Pocket, because then you don't have to manually type in your notes or tell them you've made a phone call. It records it. Anthony has tried to call at 1:59, not connected, or whatever it is. So, yeah, I'm big on that too. A lot of recording can be done a little bit more automated if they do it that way.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, knowledge is power. And so, if your database can tell who you've been talking to on a regular basis and things like that, then I guess it can sort of then follow them up differently or something like that, or on a different schedule.
Yep. And at places, another thing that Reader does, aside from our campaigns that we actually, our SMS campaigns we have set up saying, we want 10 of these ones sent out per day to the database, we want 15 of this campaign, it also offers suggested call lists. So that stuff's not automated. It is stuff that the reps would have to do manually. But the suggested call lists are generally pretty well qualified already, and they're suggested for a reason. So I was actually just showing one of our reps this morning. They hadn't seen it yet. But when you go onto the suggested call list, it says, you've just listed this property. We think that information is of interest to these five people. You should tell them about it. But it's not putting them on an automation, because we haven't got an automation set up around every new listing that comes on, send it to this amount of people. But the suggested call lists are just as great as a prospecting opportunity. Whilst it is a manual task they then have to do themselves, the initial finding of that information is done by the AI. And so the quality of data coming through as an option for those people to call is just getting better and better too. Like, what they don't realize is the AI has already looked into these people. They can see they've got something close by. They can see it'll be of interest. Like, set aside an hour each morning and go through your suggested call list. And then, the amount of quality data there, you'll likely get an appraisal request out of that for, half an hour's worth of work.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. With using AI and things like that, have you had any resistance? I mean, in my experience, I think there are three groups of agents out there. There are the complete skeptics, the dabblers, I'll just have a play with that, or then there's the AI first pros. In your experience, what have you come across?
We've almost got a fourth type of AI user in our business. It's the ones that are interested but don't want to do it themselves.
Yeah, right.
So they're happy. They're like, yeah, cool. AI sounds great, but don't give me any more work to do. Let my assistant do it, or have an admin set it up for me and things like that. So they can see the value in it, and I will talk them through the value in it, but a lot of them don't want to do it themselves. So if it's handed to them on a platter, like the Reader setup, for example, we didn't need them to do anything. We just explained what it was, set it up, and sort of said, who's interested, And then you had probably 50-50. They were like, that sounds terrible. No, I don't want SMSs going out. What if I don't know the people? Or what if they call me straight back and I'm not even available? Or what if the robot has a conversation and says the wrong thing? It's all these ones where they're a little bit timid about what could happen. And all of those things can happen, but that can happen with a normal person as well as AI. Like, you've got an admin assistant that could make just as many mistakes saying the wrong thing to a client that you could a robot. So, yeah, I think the best thing is when people are willing to adopt it, you really go hard on those people and refine it and tune it in and make sure it's working perfectly. The minute those other people that were a bit cautious about it see it working well, yes, they're late adopters, but they eventually get to the party eventually, but everyone's not always quite on the same level straight away. But they all get there in the end when they see this success.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I think it was you that, I'm pretty sure it was you. I can't remember whether it was you or Kristen specifically, but
Yes.
one of you definitely said that you were doing these 30-minute one-to-one sessions with
Yes.
people just to, that was you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because I found when you send a bulk email to all the sales reps and say, hey guys, you know, I'd really love to get you on board with this new thing we're using. It's a new platform. It's going to help us with our leads coming in, blah, blah, blah. They sort of skim over the email. They think, oh, I don't want to get on a Zoom call with you. Like, you know, what's in it for me or all that kind of stuff. They don't seem to love it in a group setting as much. Whereas if I target them and pin them down, because that's what some of our sales reps need, they are busy. And you've got to keep that in mind. Like, whilst they could probably see the benefit to these things, they're all time poor. And so they think, oh, I don't have time to set that up, or I don't want to do that. But when I sort of say to them, oh, it's really easy, if they say to me, oh, will you come down and help me with it then, you know, or come down to another office, just getting face to face helps them so much more, and relating back to how it's going to help them personally rather than talk to them as a group, because they all do work so differently. You can sort of sit with the one person that's not very good on computers or not very good on the emails or responding and things like that and say, right, this is going to help you do these things and I'm going to show you how to do it. I'll set it up for you and this is what you need to do going forward. And, you know, and make it really easy for them to adopt personally rather than make it a one size fits all, because some people like to be dictated to and then other people get their back up a little bit like, oh, how come she's telling me to do all of these things? Like almost, even though they know I'm here to help them, sometimes, you know, they might go, oh, I don't have time for that. I can't be bothered. But the minute they see it working for someone else, they get the jealousy going on and they're like, how can I be involved in that? But yeah, so yeah, I think that's been the easiest way for us to adopt things is to sit one-on-one with people and say, let me show you how it can help you personally. And then they let me, you know, they let me, because they're all private too, you know, like real estate agents are a little bit private and they're a little bit guarded with their results and their clients and all that kind of stuff. So I think, again, it's a little bit scary to talk in a group setting. They might not want to put their hand up and say to me, oh, you know, what does that mean for my client here? Or what would it say in this regard? Because they might think, oh, that might be a question that's going to give away someone I'm dealing with or whatever. Whereas if you can talk to them privately, you get a lot more out of them. That's been our experience anyway.
Yeah, interesting. So, you know, like it sort of feels like it takes longer on the training side of things, but then less time in getting them to be users and on board and all that sort of stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think if we didn't spend that one-on-one time with them, we'd have a lot more people just putting their head in the sand and not participating at all. Whereas it's in the company's best interest to have as many people on board as possible. It's only going to benefit them personally as well as the business in terms of number of transactions, number of sales, all that kind of stuff, and getting front of mind with as many people as possible. You can't do that if only half your people are willing to give it a go. So,
yeah. Have you been able to quantify in any way the benefits of using AI within your business? Like,
it's probably something we do a lot of recording. We're not as good at the looking back on the information. So the information is probably there that I could access and maybe have someone look over it and go, hey, you know, between here and here, your appraisal requests have gone up 100% or 50% over a 12-month period. We've got all of that data there, but it's just we don't have anyone actually overseeing it and looking at it and reviewing that data. So it is hard to know, but I think appraisal requests are definitely on the increase because we are doing a lot of different things. So it is hard to kind of work out exactly where it's coming from, but I think it's all helpening. Yeah, it does feel like there's more coming through. Our sales reps might not think it seems like it only because now we've got so many of them. By the time it comes around to them getting a lead again, you know, there's so many more to share the leads between now. But yeah, certainly for me, because I allocate all the leads, that's something I definitely have noticed. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And so given that you've had success with this, is there anything else out there? Because I know that some offices are just being bombarded with prop tech left, right and centre at the moment. You know, what do you reckon is next on the agenda?
Well, we've also started to get into with a company, GoList, which Renace was one of the ones we spoke with on stage. And that's more around like helping someone like myself with lead allocation rather than it's not a lead generation tool. It's basically a lead allocation tool, because what I was finding manually doing that lead allocation was taking me hours. You know, I'd have this many leads come in from social media ads we're doing and from our own website, and I'd have to go through and check if they're dealing with someone already and see if there's somebody's client that I have to give them back to, or whose turn is it for an appraisal now. That sort of thing was taking me hours of cross-referencing, and I could see how much of my time it was wasting, but I was really bogged down on the task itself that I sort of couldn't see outside, like what could help me make it more streamlined. And luckily my boss is pretty up to speed with all prop tech staff, and he said, I want you to talk to these guys, they're going to help you. They reckon they can help you with lead allocation and things like that. And it's, again, using AI, you set up rules initially going, right, if an appraisal comes in for this suburb, these are the three people that, you know, work that suburb, or that is their zone or their area. This is who I want you to suggest to me as a backup. But the first thing I want the AI to check is, A, are they in our CRM, and who owns the contact in our CRM? Should we give it back to them? Let's look at the notes and kind of put a bit of a summary together for me, which is what I was doing manually myself. So now I've got the AI going, right, here's the appraisal request. All the details are for me on one screen, whereas I was jumping between screens, was saying the property is owned by this person, the contact is owned by this other person, the last known contact was an appraisal completed by this person, and the next person in line for an appraisal in Australind area is this rep. So it gives me a few suggestions. So I can quickly read that summary now, scan it, go, done, allocate to him. And I have just found, and it was, again, it's that thing where I was going, oh, this isn't working to start with, but it's all in the information you're providing it. It's all in the trial and error. To now get to the point where it is making the right suggestions. Initially, I was going, oh, it's suggesting the wrong people, it's not working or whatever. But it's just taken all of these little tweaks and a bit of patience to now get to the point where they've asked me just recently, how are you finding it? Is it helping you? I'm like, I can allocate these in 10 minutes and I've allocated 20 leads out to our reps, and then I don't have to look at it again for the whole day. So that's something that's really helped me lately, and something new that we looked into doing. But yeah, I'm not sure, like in terms of what's next, there's always something in my boss Brent's vision or pipeline, and then he just hands it to us to make it happen. So wouldn't be surprised if he sort of comes back from his next holiday with all these ideas and then, you know, tells me to look into it.
That's the trouble with holidays, is when you're on holidays, you've got time to read all the newsletters.
Absolutely.
And then you sort of get full of ideas and things like that.
Yes.
So this is, it's all pretty, like what you're doing is super interesting. And I guess one of the final questions I've got for you is, if you were giving somebody else advice, like, you know, another operations manager or even just someone out there who might be listening to this going, you know, I really want to get my team onto AI, but they're being resistant. What do you think are the key do's and don'ts for that person?
I think initially bring it up in your sales meeting. So start to talk about, hey guys, we're looking into this. We believe it's going to help you in the following ways. Don't do the initial hard sell. I think if anyone, and it's like anything, anytime you hard sold something, you're automatically kind of got your back up. It's like when you get a spam caller and they say, you know, can I help you with your Telstra bill? And I just hang up, but I'm like, I don't want you to sell me anything. So I think, yeah, the reps, they just need like a soft intro as to what you're looking into. You don't have to do anything just yet. We're looking into it to see how it's going to best service you guys, how we can implement it into our business in the most, you know, inoffensive, in unobtrusive way. We're going to either practice it ourselves first and just see how it works, and then we're going to roll it out if we think it's going to be great for you guys. So by introing it that way, the next time you actually bring it to them because you've decided to go ahead with the uptake of this platform or whatever you've done, they know you're not bringing it to them half-assed. You're bringing it to them because you can see the value and you can see how it's going to help them. And they know we're not wasting our time as well, which in turn we're not wasting theirs by introducing this product. So sort of the soft intro followed by the, hey, you know, we discussed this recently. We've now decided to adopt it. We've done some practice runs. We think this is going to be really great for you guys as a team. Let me know if you've got any questions. You can sort of do that in that group setting then initially. And then I think you revert to the one-on-ones. But I think also with the one-on-ones, it doesn't have to be one-on-one training straight away. You can actually have a one-on-one staff meeting with that person to say, how do you feel about introducing these new things? Like, let's have a meeting and have just a really casual chat. Let's have a coffee over it and talk about why we're trying to implement it. Again, this, it all takes time to do these one-on-ones with people, but then the uptake is so much better at the end when you spend that quality time with each of your reps and deal with them as an individual person. Yeah, I think if you say to them, you know, I really feel like this is going to be beneficial for you personally. I can see you going from here to here. This is how I see it helping you. What do you think? Like, do you think you're going to have time to, you know, have me talk you through this? And if they're a little bit nervous, you can address any reservations they might have by just having a conversation rather than coming straight in guns blazing going, we've adopted this. Let's set up a training session for half an hour. I'm going to show you how it works. You all have to get on board. You're doing that like soft kind of, you know, how do you feel about it? Do you see it working? You know, if they kind of go, I don't see that working for me, you know, they can go last. You know, you've got all these other people that are going, that sounds amazing. Like, I'd love to be first to try this. You can then prioritize who you're rolling this out to. By the time you get around to person number 15 that sort of said to you they weren't that interested, they'll be interested by that stage because they'll be seeing it from everyone else. But yeah, so I even in my normal job when I'm not trying to roll out AI, I have a lot of one-on-one powwows with people in our office just all day long. Like, I'm always like, hey, come in and have a chat. And it's just because I've heard something or I want to run something past them. And I find that's how I get the most out of people because they just feel like I'm giving them my full attention and trying to help them with whatever issue they might be having or an issue outside of their role that they can see that they want me to address. But a lot of the times they won't bring that to you unless you are in front of them asking, like, have you got any suggestions for us? What can I help you with? So I find that's the best method in all aspects of trying to get people to adopt things and get excited by what you're doing and your agencies to sell them personally.
I think that's super clever because, you know, in a world where the personal touch is likely to decrease, I think, you know, it's giving them the best of both worlds. It's giving them the increased personal touch and the increased, you know, technological ability. So, yeah, amazing, amazing job. All right. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing some of your, I know that a lot of people are going to be quite inspired by, you know, like what you've had to say. So thank you for sharing your experiences with us. And it was obviously great to meet you at Rewa. I always end these by asking, you know, like one question, if there was one thing or one action that you want people to take as a result of listening to some of the things that you've said today, what would that be?
I think just really engage with your employees. If you're a business owner, don't treat people like a number. They are working for your business because they want to succeed and they also want to succeed for you as a business owner too. So anything you can provide them or that personal one-on-one time, people just really value that. You know, if they see you as this far away boss that's not so engaged or a leader or manager that's not checking in on them, you know, they're less likely to want to do well as well for you because they're seeing that they're not being valued and they're not being really seen or appreciated. And that's why I think, yeah, those one-on-one check-ins where you can sort of gauge where people are at, that what they're feeling and that sort of thing. I think it's important to, yeah, keep your finger on the pulse, so to speak, with everybody individually in some capacity. And whether that's the boss or whether that's the person under them or managers and things like that, somebody's got to be checking in with these people, rather than, I think a lot of bosses become a little bit complacent with their both sales reps and property management team members. They just think, oh, they know their job. Just get on and do your job and everyone will be happy. But just personalizing it a little bit more, giving somebody a pat on the back, like, compliments cost nothing. They're free, you know? And so if you sort of boost people up by saying, you are doing such a good job, I've really noticed this, this, and this, you've then almost bought people's loyalty for a further 6-12 months just from that personal check-in, where they can say, oh, what I'm doing is actually making a difference, or, you know, I can see I'm changing the bottom dollar of the business outcomes and things like that. And people are seeing what I'm doing and I feel valued. I think, yeah, a lot of the things that can keep employees happy is cost you no money at all. They're not asking for bonuses. They're not asking for pay rises every 5 seconds. Like, the minute you're showing actual value and support and the ability to just have a 10-minute conversation with your team members, you know, you do that. They're happy for another 6 months. They're going, great, you know, I'm being seen. So that would be my biggest piece of advice, is don't let the personal side of your relationships with your team members lax just because you think they're doing so well. I can see the numbers. They're doing great. They must be feeling great. Because sometimes you miss things when people aren't feeling entirely happy in their jobs, and it all of a sudden comes as a surprise to you, but you haven't checked in for a long time. So yeah, I think just don't miss that personal aspect of what's required to keep employees satisfied and doing well.
Yeah, that's super, super important advice for the times we're in. Sean Hayes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Samantha. I appreciate it.